The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Expository Thursday on a Thursday. Yeah, see, we can do it. Also, what is the fivefold ministry all about? We're going to look at that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And we define the purpose of ministers from a biblical perspective.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. A couple of things to tell you right out of the bat. We don't typically do our normal ministry partner splash outs. So we just want to say hey to Clint, hey to Mystery Store. We want to say hey to Johnny, hey Man of God Movers, and hey to Stephanie Vasquez with New York Life Insurance. We just want to say hey. Hey. See, it's kind of like that kind of thing. And if I had a really good voice, I'd be able to go hey. I'd be able to do that one. Although he's not that popular anymore. Anyhow, the idea there... Yeah, I'll just move on real quickly. The idea there is for everybody to catch this. We were approved this morning. I'm so happy. We were approved this morning for He Must Increase Ministry, our articles of incorporation for our nonprofit in Texas as we move it from a business to a ministry. The filings with the IRS are all in process. The EIN's number has been given. We're all in the mode. That's right, people. I am excited, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, today we're going to do some expository teaching on the fivefold ministry, what's called the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and there's so much material, but before we get to any of that, I'm just going to ask you to see where you're at. Make sure you understand how things go on. What are the holidays today? Any idea what the holidays are today? You will not like that many of them.
A law enforcement day.
That is correct. Yes. Good job. Wonder Joy. Okay, here we go. Golf clap.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Law Enforcement Appreciation Day is today. And so if there's anybody that you see, a police officer, without making any sudden moves, I happen to have a police officer in my family square, my family kind of unit that we came out here for, that works for law enforcement, and just let them know you appreciate it. That's all. Just appreciation. Hey, appreciate your work. Appreciate your willingness to do the things that got to be done. For those that don't know, today is also National Apricot Day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what that. What is that? What does that mean? For me, apricot's a color. It's like a soft orange. That's all I know about.
And a bad fruit.
Or a bad fruit. In fact, the only apricot I've ever seen is really all those squishy, Okay. And then the other thing, it's a word nerd day. So for people who are into Scrabble, this is like they've reached. They're at their peak.
Okay.
This is the best it's going to get for them. Unless they become a Christian, it's all downhill from here. All right. For the rest of us who are living in the land of normal, today, on this day in 1949, the new 7-inch 33 1/3 RPM came out in 1949. Remember those? So you had the albums, and then you had the 45s, but before the 45s were the 33s. Do you remember those at all? I mean, they were just like, they're like Frisbees that you could just whip, only they were like a vinyl Frisbee.
No, I don't really remember the little ones.
It was long, long ago. The sound quality, it's not that it was, you know, bad or good. Some people like that authentic. But this just shows it. It was only in 1950 that the music really started going. Whew. And think about all the music that's happened since 1950 and watch this. Beethoven and the classics are still amongst the top.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It's like, wow. People are like, well, 100 years from now, 100 years from now, Beethoven and the classics will still be at the top. Because it's just great stuff. That's how that goes. Last thing I want to tell you, for those who are into iPhones or Androids or whatever, in 2007, on this day, the Apple's iPhone was unveiled to the public by Steve Jobs at Macworld. So that took place 13 years ago today. It was unveiled, and since then, people have lost their minds. So, I mean, I don't know what the big deal is. I have an Android. Less money, works faster, and I don't have an attitude with it. You know, like if you pick it up, you get a Mac, it's like, I have an attitude. Oh, okay. So we're just going to move on from there. I can see how people are thinking, okay, Dave, what's this got to do with Christianity? Everything, because society impacts the things that we do. And if you become a part of society, you're a little more close to the world than you want to acknowledge. Let's get into our expository teaching. Our favorite teaching to do in all of the land. There we go.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You know, for all the cool sounds that we do, we got to come up with something. I just got to come up with something better. I'm sorry. All right, let's go into it. Expository teaching time, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to actually do verse 11 and 12, but I want to set it up with verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so it sounds like it's all together in context so that it doesn't get weird for anybody. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, but this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. All right, this is the Ephesians text, a wonderful text, very powerful, and there's a lot of churches that are going around today, and there's two, it always seems like there's these extremes that go in it. There's the fivefold ministry. If you're a person who doesn't know what the fivefold ministry is, that would be the ministries we just defined, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so there's a movement in the church that says these are active offices in the church today, and then there's another movement in the church that says these are not even near what is going on today. And the answer to both of those is they're both wrong. And you think, well, how in the world can that be? We're going to define how that's wrong. Because there are obviously apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What's your pastor's name? Ding! Okay, so you already know that's active. But are these the same people that the foundation on the church was built with? No. Because the foundation of the church was built quite solidly, and it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the church is not being rebuilt at its foundation, is it? No. So these positions are not the exact same positions as they were in the very beginning. Why? Because if you notice, no matter who claims to be an apostle, they're never referred to as the 12. Like Acts chapter 1 refers to the 12, right? So you kind of get, okay, I get it. So there are people that function in those capacities, in those offices, but are they the same as the original with the same level of authority? No. But are there people that are apostles? Do you know what the word apostle means? It means one sent forth. Somebody who's sent forth to a people is an apostle. You think, well, does that happen today? Of course. Was that person as like Peter? No, he's not like Peter. He's not one of the 12. He didn't give the first church that established, or first sermon that established the church. Is he an apostle? Yes. Is he like Peter?
No.
Put it together. You can do this. I believe you can do this. You see, Scripture is pretty clear about stuff like this. When it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it's not saying these don't cease to exist, but for somebody to try to say, well, I'm just like the Apostle Peter. I had this experience as a pastor in Flagstaff, Arizona. I had somebody actually come up to me and say to me as I was closing the church door, I'm an apostle. And I said, I've never read anywhere where an apostle had to announce that they were an apostle. I've never seen that. And he just looked at me. Because the reality check is that God does have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we're going to go into the prophets and evangelists. And it's not going to be what you think for a lot of people. But the idea that apostles don't exist is absurd. Of course they exist. But are they the same level as the 12? Of course not. The 12, which was 11, and then Matthias was added later on, and then Paul was considered to be one outside of it. And by the way, 17 people are listed as apostles in the New Testament, in case you didn't know that, which I'll be glad to review that with you at a later point. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the word means one sent forth, one on a mission for God. So these are apostles. Are they the same? No. But are they genuine? Sure. Is it at the office of an apostle? Yes, but not the level that was the office of the apostle of the 12. That's why Scripture distinguishes them. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with a person who's been sent forth. That's a what a fantastic ministry for God to send somebody into a group of people. It's absolutely awesome. Is that the same as spending 3 years directly with Jesus in human contact? No, it's not. And what bothers me is that people are like, well, there are no apostles. Well, that's dumb. That it bothers me just as much where people go, I'm an apostle, just like Peter. Well, I'm just like Peter in all of my mess-ups, but I don't need to claim authority. See, the problem is when we have to claim authority, then there is no authority. You either have it or you don't. A police officer typically doesn't get out. He has his badge on, he has a gun. He doesn't get out and go, did you know that I've been invested with the authority of the state of Texas in order? He doesn't say that. He's got a badge and a gun. The badge is his authority, which we would call exousia, the authority, the position, and his gun is the dunamos, the dynamite. And in exousia, the badge gives him the right to use the dunamos, dynamite. Nobody got to say a word. You just look and go, okay, got it. So anyway, when we come back, now I know those people are like, no, it's got to be like this. No, it doesn't. And listen, it's not a matter of fellowship. Don't think of it that way. In my mind, as I view it and I understand it, it's like, there's apostles. They're just not like the 12. We're going to come back, talk about prophets. I promise it'll blow your mind. I had something happen this morning in regards to that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. In peace
and sleep for you. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to tell you. Number one, website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. We have been acknowledged, recognized, and approved by the state of Texas as a nonprofit organization. We are in the final processes of working this out with the Internal Revenue Service. Donations will be retroactive. Everything given here forward from the 2nd of January on will be tax deductible by the time we're done. So hemustincrease.org. Keep in mind, our goal here is simple. We want more radio time, and we want to expand it. That's our goal. Email David at hemustincrease.org. If you go to hemustincrease.org, there's also a contact sheet for prayer, comments, and or whatever. And then we did get it done on YouTube. He Must Increase Ministry is where all our YouTube videos are now. Yay! Yay! I'm so happy about this. So that's really good news. Let's get a trivia question on the table, and then we'll get into talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I got a message for you on apostles, on prophets that's probably going to surprise you. Here is the first question of the day. What was Jacob's youngest son called? What was the name of Jacob's youngest son? Jacob had 12 kids. What was the name of his youngest son? 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. So I don't mean to talk really fast when I'm talking about this expository material, but there are two verses here, and I'm telling you, I could do 6 hours of teaching on these two verses. So I try to get a lot of it in. Unfortunately, because I do that, it kind of comes up. Sammy Davis Jr., personal friend of mine. I mean, it's just like it never stops. So you'll have to forgive me, and I'll do my best to slow down just a little bit. I used to have signs in the studio that said, slow down, slow down, all over the place, because I'm bad at that. I'm just one of my worst things I do. All right, so let's go back to this. We were talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Fivefold ministry. I do believe they are five distinct positions. The question is whether they are at the same level of authority that the original 12 were at, or that Jesus was at. If you just look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, you'll see that the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, were the key ingredient in having built the church. It's not a rebuilding of the church, though I think it's very necessary that people to function in these positions and offices. I just don't think you can make the connection that they're one of the 12 or one of the founding prophets or one of the or the Messiah. You certainly can't make that connection in any capacity. So I think it's fair to say that they're offices, but they don't hold that same level of weight that the original office or the original 12 did. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you feel that you have a need, or your pastor or a person you minister with or a person you know has a need to have the same level of authority as the Apostle Paul, there's something wrong with that person, not right with that person. Why? I thought we were all supposed to be servants. Okay. Let's go to the next one. We were talking about apostles. Now I want to talk about prophets. And here's the thing about prophets. For those that are unaware, the idea of a prophet has been going on for the longest time that you can imagine. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, God calls Abraham a prophet. That's the first biblical usage of the word prophet. If you will review the life of Abraham, you will find out that Abraham did not give very many predicting type of discussions. So I want to just really kind of harp on this for a second. The Hebrew word is nabi. That's the word for prophet. And it's a spokesman or a speaker. And so what happens is people can speak for God, but it's not always predictive. Sometimes people speak for God, and it's just what God is saying at the moment. It could be sharing the heart of God. And so prophets and prophecy break down to simpler components than people think. There's two major components. One is a prophecy does have to do with telling about the future and you're predicting the future and so on. And then the other one is just the sharing the heart of God at the moment. So Haggai had a prophecy. He was known as a prophet of God. He gave future predictions. But in one of his prophecies, he simply said, "The Lord is with you." There's no future prediction in that. It's simply a statement of God communicating to his people, "I'm with you. I'm connected to you. I'm a part of it." And so a spokesperson for God doesn't always have to be predicting the future. I just want to make sure you understand that difference. So when it says apostles and then it talks about prophets, not all prophets operate in this mindset of predicting the future. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that prophecy is given for exhortation, edification, and comfort. That could be a well-spoken word. Can be very prophetic. That's just how the scripture breaks it down. So there's two components, forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling is telling the heart of God at the moment. That's prophecy. Foretelling is predicting a future event. That is also prophecy. The difference is if you are a prophet from God and you foretell the future and it doesn't come to pass, you deserve to die. So it's a very high standard. So if somebody claims the office of prophet and they ever make a prediction and it doesn't come to pass, just ignore them. Just walk away and go, nope, not real, not there. And why that's important is for you to understand that when you get into 1 Corinthians 14, where it says everybody can prophesy, every person in the church can prophesy, it has to do with speaking unto edification, exhortation, or comfort, giving people a sense of the presence in the heart of God as to what's going on at the moment. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. And I encourage you guys to be maybe a little more aware. Abraham was a superb, superb, superb example of a walk with God where the man was, he had no Bible, but man, was he connected to the Lord, right? God called him a prophet and told Abimelech, hey, here's the bottom line. If you don't get prayer from my prophet Abraham, I'm going to wipe you out. And I was like, wow. So prophecy is a broader scale, and it goes all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Okay. And the reason I bring that up is so that you can understand there's differences in positions. There's distinctions in the office. Some, as you'll notice, some pastors, and we'll talk about this in a second, some pastors are really good at teaching. Other pastors are just really much better at peopling. They do a better job of ministering to people. So now you have more breakdowns taking place, teaching pastor, ministering pastor, servicing pastor, because those are realities. Some pastors do a better job teaching than others and want to focus on that. Nothing wrong with that. That's all fine. And then the third thing, and this is the one that's going to, I know people are going to get upset about, and I can't help you with this, but the third thing is evangelists. I am a huge Billy Graham fan. I am a financial supporter of the Billy Graham Evangelistical Association. But the way that Billy Graham functioned in his ministry was unique and a superb call from God. That is not the same as the evangelists in the church when we're talking about it in Ephesians chapter 4, because the evangelists in the church, get this, were evangelists, get this, in the church. They would preach good news and teach good news in the church. You want to know why they would teach good news and preach good news in the church? Because you and I who are saved by the gospel often forget the gospel. You think, oh, no, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Even after I became a Christian, I said, okay, well, now that I hear the gospel, understand the gospel, is there something that goes beyond that? And the answer is no. The gospel saves you and the gospel keeps you. And in the church, people that proclaim good news, that's what an evangelist does, are people that are proclaiming that to believers and to non-believers who are visiting alike. Believers need to hear the gospel message on a regular basis to not just be saved, but to be reinforced, because the gospel saves you and it keeps you. And real evangelism is not simply taking the gospel to people who've never heard of it. That's a missionary job. An evangelist brings the good news into the church. And there are a lot of people who are like, you kind of get these, you know, terms confused. And I understand it. And if you use somebody like Billy Graham as an example, you can fully understand it because his ministry was awesome and he did a great job. But an evangelist is somebody who's dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, whether they're people who are, whether they're talking to believers or non-believers. And people that try and say different are wrong, because an evangelist is a speaker in the church. And the church people need to hear the gospel. Hey, guess what? Jesus loves you. Hey, guess what? Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. You need to receive that by faith. You need to acknowledge Jesus Christ. You need to accept him in your heart. All is part of the process. You know who tells you that? The evangelist. And why do we need to hear it again and again and again? Seriously? Because we forget it again, again, and again. That's why we need to hear it again and again and again. So when we're talking about prophets, we're talking about prophets that speak both in telling the future and in sharing the heart of God. When you're talking about evangelists, you're talking about people that make proclamation of the gospel and they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, something that we need to hear and live in on a regular basis. Because when you first started off, you were all happy and giddy and everything was great and fantastic. And then guess what? Things happen and it kind of goes by the wayside and drops off a little and goes underneath a little. And here's the real answer. You need to hear the message again. You need to hear the same gospel that saved you in order for it to keep you. That's what an evangelist does. Now, it turns out that most evangelists will do that in a church setting, and people will bring unbelievers, and those people will get saved. And that's a fantastic method of presenting the gospel. But somebody whose sole purpose is to take the gospel to people that have never heard it before, that's a missionary. And that's biblically defined as a missionary who are on a mission to proclaim the gospel where it's not been heard. Whereas an evangelist teaches the good news to everyone, believers and non-believers. Let's get that? That's why the church needs to do a little better job of acknowledging evangelists in the church. Get that? Yeah, got it. All right, take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called
Take the Day Off, please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
it. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person of the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just to let you know, if you want to reach the show, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. The website, hemustincrease.org. Get that? Okay. So hemustincrease.org, and then email david@hemustincrease.org. And then on YouTube now, He Must Increase Ministry. That's kind of how we got it rolling. We have a trivia question that is on the board. We have not heard an answer yet, so we do want to hear an answer. This is for those. Now, again, I like it when you guys check it in the scripture, or even, you know, if you're looking it up, even you use the concordance. I just don't want you to just do a simple search for it. Who was Jacob's youngest son? Right? Jacob had kids, right? 12 kids. Who was the youngest? The youngest. Couple of pretty simple hints. You know the answer is in Genesis. So, I mean, I can just, I'll just help you with that. The number here still, I think, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Who was Jacob's youngest child or youngest boy or youngest son? Let's go that way, because when you do the other way, people start getting weird on me. So somebody's already calling in. We'll wait for the answer, and then we'll go into the rest of the expository. Remember, when I do expository, it's like, so you just got to be patient with me and have mercy on me and love me. And if you don't, then you have to answer to God.
That's what I love about the kingdom, right? You don't love me, you're in trouble.
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David Spoon and Irving. This is David and Burleson again.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Hi, good. I was just telling your nice reception lady, dude, you got to do a little bit harder job on these questions. They're too easy.
I got a real good one if you want.
Talking the other day about Joseph and his younger brother Benjamin. Therefore, Benjamin has to be the youngest.
That is correct, sir. So that you bring up a really good point, because there's times where I want to do some of these tougher. Like, here's a really hard question that people like. I'm just going to give you an example, but I kind of always hesitate. How many altars did Abraham build?
How many altars?
Yeah.
Did who build?
Abraham.
One at every place he went is my answer.
But see, that's a tough one. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, you go into that, it's like, I don't know if I want to go to that level. Because I would never know that had I not studied it. Like, I would never know that off the top of my head. I'd have to hunt it down.
That's like asking how many holes in one did Tiger Woods have? Well, every time he shot, he went for a hole in one.
Excellent. Very good, my friend. Thank you for calling, and I greatly appreciate it. Good answer, by the way.
Good show. Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Good job. I like that. People have better jokes than I do. First of all, that's not that hard, but it is good because they're better jokes than I have. All right, so we're talking about Ephesians. We're doing the expository material. And by the way, the answer was Benjamin, so that was a good should I tell you how many altars? I'll wait, see if somebody can figure that out. Here's the bottom line. We're talking about these different elements. You've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And it's all going to lead up to the next segment. The next segment is the most important segment by far. The fivefold ministry has an importance to it, the elements to it. But what the result is by far what the Lord is trying to communicate to all of us. So I want to make sure people get it. Apostle, an apostle is one who's sent forth. It's not one of the 12, but it is an officed position. It just doesn't hold where the Council of Jerusalem held it the same way. You got prophets who both speak, can either speak foretelling, predicting the future, or forthtelling, sharing the heart of God. And that you get from just the study of Scripture, looking at Haggai saying, the Lord is with you. He was a prophet. He spoke. Anytime you speak a word that's the heart of God at the moment, that's considered a prophecy from a biblical examination. Then we talked about evangelists, and evangelists, while most people mix that up with missionary, evangelist is somebody who shares the good news with the church and the unchurched, no matter where they go. And we have an American idea of what an evangelist is. They hold an event, they get on a stage, you know, like it's a very specific like event, but that is not how the early church utilized evangelists. Evangelists would go in and proclaim the gospel to people who were already saved in order for them to grasp, hey, this is how you're saved, and this is how you stay in the saving. If you keep this message close to heart, remember the gospel says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe or believeth or believes, it's the continual action of believing. You can never stop believing is the whole concept there, shall have eternal life. And so it's that evangelist reinforces that good news that we all need. And then the next two that's talked about in the fivefold ministry are the pastors and the teachers. And what happens is in our society, well, maybe more so than in more societies, the two of them have been linked overly, let's say, closely, because we will have one person who functions as a pastor and one person who functions as a teacher, or one person who functions as both. So I've read I've been a pastor in a couple of different churches, and I've read the things where churches put out looking for pastors, and like you look and you examine how it is that they're trying to communicate, and inevitably they'll say, we want somebody who can teach, and then we want somebody who can minister to the flock. And I think what they're doing is they're taking two positions and putting it together. Financially, it sounds great, but I'm not sure it's the best way to go about it. In larger churches, you'll have a teaching pastor and a ministering pastor, so to speak. So you'll have a pastor and a teacher. Do I think teachers are different than pastors? Yes. Do I think we've merged them in America? Yeah, I think we've done that. Saves money, keeps things easier. Is God up there screaming because we do that? No, I don't see that. I see the Lord, if you look at the qualifications that Timothy had when he was in Ephesus, they're a lot longer than the qualifications that Titus had on Crete. And you think, well, why are those qualifications different? They weren't swapping letters. It's because Crete's situation led to less people to choose from, and Titus had less to work with, and Timothy was in Ephesus, much bigger metropolitan area, had more to work with. His qualifications were higher and tighter. Titus's were lower and simpler. Why? Because that's all he had to work with. So there's a definite biblical paradigm about shifting it down for when you have less to work with. That's how it works. That's part of the process. God's not up there going, oh my goodness, they missed this one. I mean, he's trying to help us in general and in large. And I think that pastors and teachers in the church, which are both still qualify under the shepherd mentality, are the most underappreciated people that exist in the church. And you say why? And I'll tell you why. Because you have a person who will minister, do the ministering, we call marry and bury, a license to marry and bury. So they do funerals, they do weddings, they do counseling one-on-one, they do marriage counseling, they do public speaking, they do organizational. They took, this was 35 years ago, they took a pastor's position and they took all of the things that he did and they broke them down into different components and then put the value on what they get paid versus what they should get paid in the world. And the typical pay was about $40,000 or $38,000, and the value pay was about $168,000. People are getting great deals when they're getting a pastor who does all of those functions. It's like, that's a great deal. And maybe your church situation requires it. Maybe you're more of a Crete. And so you need to have somebody kind of function in both. It's just clearly stated that these are five separate positions. The word "and" in the Greek, while closely linking pastors and teachers, does have a distinction between pastors and teachers. The one thing is that Jeremiah gives qualifications for people who lead in that capacity. They should have a heart after God. That's what they're required to do. And so we want, I would think, as churches, we would want to make sure that our pastors and teachers, whether it's the same person or different people, are appreciated. Because as you notice, apostles, prophets, and evangelists seem to have a little more flair, a little more bling, so to speak, than pastors and teachers, the lowly pastors and teachers. And without the pastors and teachers, there's nobody to share and to minister the heart of God to the flock of God. And we need that. In fact, the most important element, Jesus, more than an evangelist per se, was a shepherd. And it's like, that's how important is that? That's hugely important. So my reason for bringing this up and then kind of splitting it apart is if you got people that teach in your church, if you got people who are pastoring a church, those are obviously present offices, just like evangelists, just like apostles, just like a prophet. They should be appreciated, and somebody should let them know. And you could be that very person. And I can tell you as a former pastor that when people would say to me that they appreciate what I was doing and how I was trying to help and trying to be a part of it, that meant more to me than almost anything else. It's just that word of encouragement. And I do that out of this deep, sympathetic and empathetic, both, heart that says these people need to be encouraged too. They need uplifting too. They need protection too. They need love too. So you got a pastor, or you got somebody who's teaching in your church and they're a loyal teacher and they've been really faithful and really diligent and really instructing the flock. You know, they need to be aware of that. And, you know, I will say this, and I'll say it real carefully because my time's limited. You got Sunday school teachers, quote unquote, who are thought of as nothing. You know, the majority of people that grow up and maintain their Christianity do so because of the instruction of a Sunday school teacher who's taught them the principles to fall back on when they go a wayward way. It's like, this is all crucial material. But all of that said, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all of that said, has one purpose, and it is not the normal purpose that we engage with. So what I want to do is we're going to take our break and we're going to come back. And when we come back, I'm going to take that extra minute to talk about what it's for. Because there's a reason that God gave these five ministries, these five gifts to the church. That's what we want to look at. Okay? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. For all the
blessing that you give me. Hey. Here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located?
Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you into life so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to remind you, if you want to get some of the music we have that we do on the ins and the outs, livinginhisgrip.com under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N Project. I like that joke segment. See, every once in a while I'll do something like that. You just, here's my strongest personal Christian advice. Just put up with it. I'll get to the teaching, but some of that stuff I think is, you know, I like these kind of jokes. You know, you ever heard the Dead Sea joke? Have I ever told you the Dead Sea? Let me tell you okay, here it is, the Dead Sea joke. When somebody says something to you and you know it's an okay joke, but you want to comment back, but you want to be really like classy and Christian about it, just go, that's as old as when the Dead Sea was still sick. See, that's a classic. Okay, I think it's a classic. Don't forget, go to hemustincrease.org. You can reach the show also, David, at hemustincrease.org. This is my big section, the big part I wanted to talk about in the Ephesians text. So we've been talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. By the way, the Lord gave them as gifts. People in the office of the church are gifts to the church, in case you're not aware of that. But look at verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is the miss, I think, that does happen a lot. And the whole purpose of God giving different positions of leadership in the church is for the benefit of the church. The purpose of leaders, it's a gift from the Lord, and it's for the benefit of the church so that the church can be active in ministry. Somehow, in the wisdom or lack of wisdom that we've all emerged in, we're thinking that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers should be doing the ministry. But they're the ones that are supposed to be equipping the body of Christ to do the ministry. And so what has happened is people have become professional in these offices, and then the body has stopped doing what the body is supposed to do. The whole purpose of these positions and leaderships in a church is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I want to harp on that for a second, because that word prepare is katartizo. I said that wrong. Katartizo. Katartizo. That's what it is. Okay, katartizo. And that's the word in the Greek. And that word, to prepare, comes from the word for mending or restoring. So
the purpose of leadership in the church is to mend, to restore, to prepare God's people for works of service. So church leadership is designed by God to be healing and equipping the body so that the body can do works of service in the world and in the church. Let me give you the classic statement, not mine. I'm pretty sure it's a lot older than the people who claim credit for it. But the meeting place, that's the church, the meeting place is the making place for the marketplace. The meeting place is the making place for the marketplace. Because it is you and I and all of us, we are all the ministers of the Lord. And the purpose of the higher level of leadership in the church is to help us do even a better job of being ministers of the Lord wherever we go. And it's not that, let me say this carefully. It is good that we do inward focus, like ministering within the body, but we should also do outward focus. And for those churches that are just doing outward focus, there should also be inward focus. It's not one or the other, it's both. So I had a psych professor in college say, okay, here's the question, A or B? And then he waited and he waited and he goes, that's not right and that's never right. It's either A or B, neither A or B, or A less B or B less A. So he's going through this whole riff on there's like four different answers to one answer all the time because it depends on the angle and so on and so forth. My point in bringing that up is it's like the church. It's not just we should just focus on people on Sundays who are outside the church, bring them in, and then do all of our focus throughout the week on people inside the church. That's not the answer. And the reverse is not the answer. We just focus on the church people on Sunday and focus on all the other people on all the other days of the week. That's not the answer. The answer is you focus on everybody instead of trying to split it up. I understand the strategy. Here's a real strategy. Let's walk with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us so that we can minister both to the believers and to the unbelievers on a regular basis, no matter what. And the day doesn't distinguish what we minister or how we minister. We're just prepared to minister, period. And I love that that word has to do with mending or restoring, because one of the big functions of church leadership is to really bring in healing and grace and strengthening to the body of Christ so the body of Christ can be stronger. Because in this world, there's a lot of Christians that are getting chopped to pieces. And when you go into social world, the social media rips Christians to no ends. Hey, guess what? There is a place for you and I to get restored. It's the church. And everybody has, well, there's a lot of negative attitude about the church this or the church that. I was talking to somebody very close to me, and they were talking about how the church has this problem and this church has this problem, and talking about the church at large. And then I said, one of the things you better catch hold on is that Jesus loves the church. He loves the people of God. No, he doesn't like the legalism. No, he doesn't like the second set of Ten Commandments. But the church, that's his people. That's his body. He loves the church. And anytime we're not loving what Jesus loves, we got a problem. Yeah, there's people that are annoying. I'm one of them. But we need to be loving what God loves. And God loves the church, faults and all, just like he loves you, faults and all. I was like, we got to get into that mindset. And so then when it says prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up, the idea is not to beat people down. Is it? I don't think that's the idea. The idea is to build them up, to strengthen them, to empower them. That's our job. We're to bless each other, because when we bless each other, we're honoring the Lord. When we take care of each other and strengthen each other and minister to each other, lift each other up in the kingdom, we're honoring God. We're doing exactly what Jesus said to do. We're being obedient. We're fulfilling it. God's heart is happy about the way that we engage with one another when we're encouraging one another to be stronger in the Lord. I think people think of the church, well, that's the place where you go, where everybody, you know, gets the back of their hand smacked with a ruler, and you take the dental floss out, and you put it on somebody's ear, and you squeeze as hard. It's like, well, my goodness, come on. Our whole position is to be, when we're blessing one another, we're blessing the Lord. And Paul's sharing this need in Ephesians for individuals to function in their gifts so that the body can be edified, can be built up. And that's what we're called to. We're called to that. That's what you'll hear me say. Just go to church. I don't care if you're doing something that's functional in church. Your presence makes a difference in church. Your prayers make a difference in church. Your giving makes a difference in church. You make a difference in church. And you think, well, I know, but Dave, I got hurt in church. Me too. I went to a church that was like a cult. But you got to keep trying until you find the right place you can go home. You have to. Because Jesus loves these people, and he wants you to be a part of that. He didn't create, you know, Lone Wolf McQuade, what a great movie with Chuck Norris. I mean, we won't go down the Chuck Norris jokes. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, that's great, but not for a Christian. See, you can't do that. There's no lone wolf Christian. You can't do it. You can't love one another if you never connect with one another. Impossible. You can't love your neighbor in the highways and the byways if you won't get out of the driveways. Come on. We can do better than that. It's so that we, church leaders, so that we can be healed and equipped, restored and strengthened, so that we can help perform works of service, so we can be building up the body of Christ. That's what the Lord wants. All that other stuff's just goofy. Okay? All right. Just keep it simple. That's how the Lord likes it. So, you know, don't be removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.